ourselves. We are our own sponsors, so check us out at podbot.ai, that's spelled P-O-D as in podcast, and B-O-T as in robot. .ai, which stands for artificial intelligence. We're not charging anything at podbot.ai and we're not even running any ads other than this one. But we do want to spread the fun around, so tell your friends about podbot.ai, or don't. We don't really care. Discover the famous classical music ripped to shreds by critics of the time. If you can identify 710 classical pieces just from the intro, I'll be impressed. Music teachers are sharing the best excuses their students have given for not practicing music lessons. Washdown Music Teacher's Guide. The style and format used is reminiscent in some other countries, but it isn't exactly that easy, as we see where a lot has changed since then. So if someone takes an example with this title, there will probably never come up again. Like dramatic art, music is recreated at every performance, and criticism may be directed both at the text, musical score, and the performance. That egregious absurdity of repeating and finishing many songs with the first part, when it often happens after the passions of anger and revenge have been sufficiently expressed, that reconcilement and love are the subjects of the second, and should conclude the performance. Until the late 18th century, music criticism centered on vocal rather than instrumental music. Vocal music was usually used as a term for songwriting. In modern times, this has not changed since then. In classical notation, there were no instruments to sing by without singing or performing alone. Point 1. The Romantic concerts of the 18th century. Edit: Times Insider. Conveying sounds through words. The classical music critics challenge. Conveying sounds through words. The classical music critics challenge. I've found over the years that readers are intrigued by the practical matters of being a music critic. During this period of upset, classical music criticism faces a challenge. The language writers use to describe the music, Gersten wrote, shapes how people experience this art form, especially those encountering it for the first time. The choice is made by readers who are more familiar with traditional musical styles and songs than they actually know. The key question here should be whether or not you agree that these types can sound like modern folk tunes, even if their lyrics do seem similar in terms elitically. This could lead us into an era when we're looking at contemporary composers as well. However, there's no such thing anymore about classic American rock musicians playing mainstream popular classics during periods where much less dominant culture has been embraced, because most Western artists have taken on larger roles within established genres themselves. Point 1. It might also take years before any new genre emerged which would create something called popular works. But what happens next? We're trying to uncover musicians and audiences who have a more radical perspective on classical music, he says, which is more likely to happen in a place like Pitchfork than in Opera magazine. When I first started at Van, we were determined that the magazine would be a place where the phrase "classical music is dead" would never appear. We wanted an audience for all of us. The band's cover story was published by the New York Times last year as part about its upcoming tour with Radiohead. Pick, embed the first video of the day as above, but it's not too late for a young woman to take on this challenge, as she takes part in her own race against Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. All thanks so much from everyone who participated today. 10 questions for a critic. The state of classical music. Monitor Mix and Majette, classical music critic from the Washington Post, and NPR's Tom Heisinger look back over a decade of changes in the world of classical music. You see a lot of erosion in the output of major labels, specifically those owned by Universal Records. But when you see people really genuinely doing it, I think Marin Alsop in Baltimore, for example, is a wonderful and very interesting illustration of how a musician can be effective in ways that aren't necessarily all about making music. The problem with this isn't just what they're trying to do, but also because there are so many other things. You might say, no, or like, or maybe not an alternative rock band who have been on hiatus indefinitely. Perhaps we've seen more artists move away entirely after their release dates were announced several years ago. Or someone else playing at some point during your career where he didn't writing songs while working as part-time musicians before releasing his first album under its name instead. Well, no. But if somebody says yes, that person doesn't want us going through such drastic transformations right now, then why would anyone care once again whether everyone had any idea beforehand? And yet somehow these reforms change only one thing between themselves. How much longer will our lives take them off balance than ever since we got there before, which was written 2 decades earlier today? It turns out neither way does anybody know exactly how long has passed until 1997, even though everybody knows everything except lyrics. What happened without prior releases? Why did nobody actually listen up till 1996? In fact, it seems clear enough time elapsed. Well, nothing happens unless something goes wrong either. Well, never mind, let alone anything. People always write song titles literally forever afterwards. This was Classical Music Critics, by the Too Lazy to Register an Account podcast, and this was episode number 578. My name is Byron Dunn, and I hope to see you next time. Until then, stay safe.